nervous there, didn't I? Well, faked you out. Sorry about that, but we'll start this thing up again. And hello there. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, and of course, Bill Newell directing traffic for us with this presentation of MSO News Sports, brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastown, New Hampshire. Moore GMC of Denver, serving the North Shore since 1969. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Attorney Robert J. Madruga. See Bob for all your tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. The Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn, combining with Lynn Arts in building a vibrant cultural center in downtown Lynn. Columbia Insurance of Lynn. The Porthole Restaurant. Hey, try their award-winning clam chowder. The Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. And the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com, the Daily Item serving the North Shore since 1877. Well, how do you do? Let's just turn the music off here and say welcome back. Tim's out tonight. Tim Kearns a little under the weather, but we hope to talk to Coach Kearns a little bit later on. And goodness gracious, a really full lineup of interviews tonight. Good Lord willing, and the crick don't rise, as they say. Before I get to that, though, there is the latest information that I have on the fatal fire in Gloucester that is posted. I did have a conversation with Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith and Gloucester Fire Captain Tom LeGrande, who was at the scene this morning, and they will give you as much information as is possible. Again, the victim's name being withheld until his relatives have been notified. Fire in East Gloucester this morning. That is on the website along with other interviews as well. Bill Newell should be by later on. We'll check in with him. Big night tomorrow night in Danvers, as there will be a big celebration highlighting and feeding the unbeaten team from last year. Most of those kids, as Bill mentioned, are back from college at the moment on college break, and they're going to be honored tomorrow night in Danvers. But we do have a full lineup tonight, including Dan Harrison, the sports editor of the Newburyport Daily News, Scott Cooper, of course, a wicked local sports writer in Marblehead, in Swampscott, and of course for the Lynn Item. We'll also have Denise Silva. She is the Lynn Classical Swim Coach, and you have heard many of her reports on swim night when they have their swim meets and the results of the meets that Lynn Classical is involved in and some of the individual highlights. Denise will come by and explain something about swimming to me anyway and how it works and talk about her kids. We'll also talk with Emily Hudak. Emily Hudak, of course, the legendary coach of girls hockey in Marblehead. And also scheduled, John DeMarco. He's the Hamilton Wenham girls basketball coach, and you've seen some of his reports on coaches' hotline as well. We do have a sports hotline that the coaches have been calling into or emailing us with their information. As soon as they do, we get it right up on the post. Sometimes the newspapers go to bed a little bit early, so they can't get the stories in the paper, but we do have it online for you in the evening when the coaches call in and report to us. So pretty much it. We're still going to talk, hopefully, to Tim Kearns and to Nick Kukru. Tim, of course, our analyst extraordinaire here on MSO, and also Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times sports editor. We'll see if we can get all of that, or at least most of that, in tonight. And if you have information you'd like to pass along, or complaints, or compliments, or just anything you want to say, msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. So that'll take care of what we've got coming up tonight. We will take our first break of the evening and come back with our first interview. And again, this is North Shore Sports Night, heard most Monday nights on MSO.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
All right, we're back on a Monday night, and very pleased to have finally made contact with Dan Harrison. He's the sports editor of the Newburyport Daily News. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going very good down here. Tim is off tonight. He's a little under the weather, but Dan, talking to Nick Kukuru, Nick was doing our hockey game. We had Winthrop at Gloucester the other night, and talking about the job you're doing up there. And you've been up there now since what, since June or so?
Yeah, I moved over part-time in late February, and then I took over as the sports editor in June, yeah.
All right, Dan, for anybody who doesn't know, I mean, everybody knows Dan Harrison as a sports writer for the Salem News and also now as the sports editor. But Dan, give us a little bit of your background. Tell us a little bit about your biography, how you got to be where you are.
Well, I started interning over at Salem probably about 6 years ago. I didn't really know anything about sports writing at the time. I just, you know, I love sports, and you know, I felt like I was pretty knowledgeable about a large variety of different sports. And you know, the guys over at Salem, you know, Phil Stacey, Mike Grenier, who's no longer there, Matt Jenkins, Matt Williams, they kind of took me under their wing and, you know, taught me how to cover games, taught me how to write features, and, you know, I just worked my way up, got a part-time job there, you know, held that for a long time, and then, you know, they asked me to move over to Newburyport in the winter because Newburyport was just, you know, looking to improve their sports page a little, so they kind of wanted me to bring a little bit of the Salem News style over there, and, you know, that's what I aim to do, and my boss at the time, Max Cerullo, he decided it would be better for him to move over to be just a regular full-time sports reporter at the Tribune, which is where he is now. And so, you know, I applied for his position as a sports editor, and you know, luckily they decided they had faith in me to do it. You know, all the papers are the Newburyport Daily News, the Gloucester Times, the Salem News, and the Tribune. We're all kind of connected, so you know, Phil is still keeping an eye on me, helping me out with things, and I brought in a part-timer, Nick Giannino, and he's really done a great job. He's actually from Kentucky, so he's got, you know, some inside information on sports in the area. So, you know, it's busy, but things are working out really well. You know, it's just like in the Salem area, we got great kids and great teams to cover. The coaches are all awesome. So, you know, I'm just really lucky.
You know, it is, first of all, it's a big family of newspapers, but all the guys you mentioned in terms of sports, and, you know, I go back with Mike Grenier, and before that, Gary Larrabee, Bill Kaporis, Jim Lazar, and those guys, and it's a consistent list of quality sports writers you have, just plain journalists, as a matter of fact. And I know, Dan, one thing about sports writing is that you can actually, and I don't know that I should even say this with the authority that I'm going to say it with, but you could step in and do news anytime, anywhere, because of all your sports writing experience, and it just makes you so versatile as sports writers. And I say that knowing the job that you and your contemporaries have done. So anyway, congratulations on getting the job. Really happy about that. And you mentioned the kids up there. Now, what's your major sports coverage? What teams do you cover in for the most part?
You know, we try to spread the coverage out as best we can, but, you know, my forte has generally been football. I mean, I played it in high school. You know, I watch all college, all NFL, high school stuff. So that one's probably my best, but I also really enjoy covering hockey and basketball and boys lacrosse, baseball and softball and, you know, wrestling. I've over the years I've gone to some of the bigger wrestling meets, and it's actually a pretty underrated sport to go to and watch. You know, obviously track, We got some really strong track kids in the area. Actually, one of our Newburyport kids this weekend at the state relays meet, he had a high jump of 6'10", which is, according to head coach Tim Foley, it's the best anybody's jumped at the Reggie Lewis Center in two decades. So,
no way. Well, who's the kid? Who's the kid?
Nick Redeker. He's a Newburyport kid, and he does a bunch of things, but right now he's the number one high jumper in the state and one of the top high jumpers in the entire country.
Wow. I'll say. I got to write that down. all right. Listen, one of the things that fascinate me, Dan, is when I first started I started with Hockey Night in Boston many, many years ago, and I sort of had the same experience. I was a math teacher. It was still my day job for all these many years, but I just felt, because I played sports and I watched sports, that I could do sports. And, having opinions about the Boston Bruins versus watching a Cambridge Ringen Latin versus Somerville game, there's quite a bit of difference in that. So learning the local angle is so important. And you got that learning, I presume, with the Salem News. Those guys helped you along those lines?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Phil, hockey in particular, Phil knows those teams inside and out, all of them. He knows. He's talking to the coaches constantly every week, getting the updates. So, that's kind of one thing I learned. And, I try and do the same with my hockey teams. Luckily, I don't have quite as many to cover, but I also have some really good teams. I mean, Newburyport, this is their third season, I want to say, in Division One, and I mean, Newburyport size-wise, they're not really a Division One school, but
right,
they're very good in hockey, and they have a very strong hockey program going all the way down to the youth. So, I'm going to these games, and they're competing, and they're playing really well against some of these good teams. They have, they have this really strong duo forward, these two seniors, Scott Webster and Tyson Gaditis, and those two kids are really fun to watch. I mean, Scott Webster's got some of the best hands I've seen in a high school hockey player, and the Gaditis kid, he just flies all over the ice. I mean, one of them is bound to score at least once or twice every single game. They've been a little bit unlucky with some tough calls. They played North Reading this weekend, and they came back from a 2-0 deficit to tie the game, and then Gaditis, he scored a goal in the third period that would have given them the 3-2 lead late, but the refs deemed that the net had come off the mooring, so they took the goal off the board. I know the Newburyport kids were a little frustrated, but I'm sure they'll bounce back. Triton's got a pretty strong program. I think they're hovering right around 500 now, but they've got a lot of youth, but they've also got some real strong players. They have a kid, a defenseman named Shea Capolupo, who's a phenomenal player to watch. He can handle the puck, he can hit, he does a little bit of everything. And we got some good teams. I mean, Pawtucket, they're a very physical team, and they got some strong players as well. They're looking to make the tournament for the first time in a few years. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens as we, head into the second half of the hockey season.
If I didn't know better, I think I was talking to Phil Stacey, but he's doing Northeast Conference. You're doing Cape Ann League. But, geez, you sound just like him with all that stuff you're throwing at me. That's way cool, Dan. No, that's awesome. And I've done a few games. Phil has sat in and worked with us. We've done a few Beverly games together, and I'm hoping to get up there to do a Newburyport game or two. I really miss when Gloucester used to play Newburyport and all that. I miss the Cape Ann League Northeast Conference connection. I hope it rebuilds someday.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the Northeast Conference is so much fun to cover, and so is the Cal, and it's all kind of the same area, so it's nice when there is some overlap.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what else do you see up there, Dan, in terms of your local schools and maybe some of the other sports that you could hit on for us down here? And then, because we're trying to get up there a little bit more often, and I do want to come up and see you. But what are some of the other things that catch your eye in your coverage?
Right now, looking at the basketball season, we have some really strong girls teams in the Cal. The Cal has very strong girls basketball teams. I mean, Pawtucket, they just lost their first game of the season to Masco. Masco, good every year. But, I mean, Pawtucket, they lost all these great kids off of last year's team that, made it to the North Finals. Their all-time leading scorer, Kelsey McNamara, her father's the coach. She's no longer with the team. She's up at St. Joe's, and she's actually having a phenomenal college year. But, Pawtucket seems to rally. Amesbury's really good this year too. They have a pair of juniors who are phenomenal players. Abby Sartori, she's also a tennis player, but she she's come on really strong this year. A very good defender, but she's also developed into like quite the little jump shooter, and she's had some big games this year. And then Madison Napoli, she's a junior point guard, and you know, she's one of the better female guards I've seen. She handles the ball really well. She passes really well. She can score. You know, the Triton girls, they're also having a strong year. They have a junior forward named Tessa Prince. She's really tall, but she also has an awesome jumper. And, you know, she's recently coming off, I believe, a 26-point performance. She can score, and, you know, she can really stretch the floor for them, shoot the three. And then they have a senior, Erin Savage. She's a real gritty player, you know, gets the job done inside, gets a lot of steals. He's just a really great defender. And then the Newburyport girls, they've looked awesome. They beat Masco last week, and then Ipswich in kind of not the best game they played all year, but they have this big forward, Emily Pettigrew. She's the only she's the lone senior captain on the team. You know, she can score. She can defend. She blocks shots. She alters shots. She rebounds. And then there's a sophomore guard who I really like named Krista Padillero, and you know, she's just a really tough player, great ball handler. She can shoot. She's a great defender. And then they have a freshman named Anna Hickman who, you know, I think in the game against Ipswich, she had like six steals in the first half. So Newburyport, I expect to contend pretty well in the conference.
Geez, I can see why they put you in there, Dan, to take over things. My head is spinning. That's awesome, man. That is so cool. All right. What do you get coming up in the paper this week?
This week, well, tomorrow we got a girls basketball column done by my guy Nick Giannino, and then a little later in the week, get the hockey column going, look at some of the boys' teams. I'm going to try and get a little info on a couple of girls' hockey players who are playing. We have a couple of Pawtucket girls who play on a Pawtucket Haverhill North Andover co-op, and then we have some Newburyport girls who play on Masco. And then, you know, tomorrow we also got a nice little write-up on how the Newburyport track teams did in the state
Excellent.
Relays.
Excellent.
And I'm trying to get in touch with Justin Cashman. He was Triton pitcher, also a good football player, but his forte was pitching. He's going to be pitching D1 next year, and he just signed with a Cape Cod team, so we're looking to talk to him some. And yeah, one of the other things we like to do are player profile, which is, you know, we'll pick a local athlete. You know, doesn't necessarily have to be an all-star, just, you know, mm-hmm. somebody that we can talk to. We basically just ask them questions and you know, print their responses as is. You know, some of it's sports stuff, but some of it's also,
yeah.
you know, some more personal stuff. So, like, recently we did one and with the Pawtucket track kid and named Nick Murphy, and, you know, we asked him stuff about, like, the holiday season
oh, that's
and what
yeah.
kind of music he likes, that kind of stuff.
That's always fun. Now, do you have a regular column that you do?
Yeah, I have a hockey column called Rink Minutes that, you know, runs, and I try and get it in once a week, but since we don't have a ton of teams, it's probably like once every 10 days-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nick's basketball column is Full Court Press. And then in the fall, I have a football column that runs every week called Pondering Pigskin. And then in the spring, I'm not sure the names yet, but we'll have the baseball column, softball column, and a lacrosse column.
Sounds fantastic. Nick, I'm thinking of Nick Kukuru now. Dan, it sounds great. Listen, can I call you from time to time and catch up with you on this program? You know, I know you're busy on a lot of Monday nights, but when we can catch up with you, would that be all right?
Yeah, anytime, always.
All right.
Give me a call. If you don't get me in my office, this number that you have, right,
okay.
This is my cell phone, you know, just
all right.
call anytime.
The other thing we're going to do is try to get up there and do a hockey game or two, and I will call you beforehand and see if you're around.
Okay, great.
All right, Dan, great. Thank you so much, and good luck the rest of the way.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, Dan. That is Dan Harrison, who is the sports editor of the Newburyport Daily News. Going to take a quick break. Going to check in with Bill Newell, see what he's up to tonight. And we'll be right back with plenty more to come on North Shore Sports Night.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, somewhere out in the hinterlands now, we're going to check in with Bill Newell and Bill has been on the road most of the day. Hi, Bill. Where are you?
I am on Centennial Drive.
I knew you were out there somewhere. Okay, so what's the latest, Bill? I mean, there's so much going on. I just got to talk with Dan Harrison. I got a million interviews lined up tonight, and things are just smoking. But I know there's a big night coming up in Danvers tomorrow.
Hey, thanks. A couple of things here. On our website, we have a post with the one and only Gary Larrabee, who is Mr. Golf on the North Shore, but also Mr. Danvers on the North Shore. And he has been blogging and documenting the Danvers High basketball team the last several years. And they're going to be honoring their 27-0 state championship basketball team tomorrow night prior to their boys basketball game against Winthrop at 7 o'clock at the Danvers High School. So the ceremony, I think, starts a little before 7. I just talked with head coach John Walsh. He's confirmed that all of the players, those players from last year's team, will be in attendance tomorrow, those that are, you know, were graduated off of last year's team. Some of them are playing college basketball, but they'll be there tomorrow night at for the ceremony at 7 o'clock. So I know Gary's going to be there. We won't be there, but we just talked to five players on this year's team that we'll post that probably first thing tomorrow morning on our website. they were on that team, and they talk a little bit about the team. And so tomorrow's kind of a nice day to honor the Danvers state championship team from a year ago. And they're going to be doing it tomorrow night. So, and also we talked with John Walsh, their head coach, about those players that are coming back tomorrow night.
Fantastic. Now, you mean to tell me, Bill, you can't post from your car while you're driving?
No, I can't. Can't we do that?
I don't know.
Tell me how to do that?
No, if you know what, we get a smart car. Well, I know. They have smart cars, don't they? So maybe we can. I don't know. Do we have a best?
If I didn't have to drive, maybe we could do this, right? Okay. If I had one of the newer cars, yeah.
I knew you'd be yelling at me now because I should be driving. Okay, one of the automated ones. Okay. Bill, do we have a basketball game lined up for tomorrow night? I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah, we're going to go with the boys, Marblehead at Beverly, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
All right, and I'm planning to go over to Peabody on Wednesday and do the Beverly-Peabody hockey game. So we get plenty more activity coming up this week on MSO.
Yeah, definitely tomorrow night, and as you mentioned, the hockey game on Wednesday night, and we'll see about Friday, but right now we haven't seen Marblehead boys yet. We have seen Beverly a couple of times, but I think it'll be good to see Marblehead. We haven't seen Mike Giardi's team so far this year, other than the Jamboree, so we'll look forward to seeing Marblehead tomorrow night. I think they're around 500 this year. I think they've lost to a couple of large teams, but we'll talk with we'll check in with them tomorrow night.
All right, that game is at Beverly.
At Beverly, yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Bill?
No, I think that's it for right now. I know you got a busy show, but I just wanted to nice to be able to mention the Danvers basketball state championship team that's going to be honored tomorrow night.
Fantastic. Great coverage. Thank you so much, Bill.
All right. Take care.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. That's Bill Newell, the voice of the North Shore, the voice of North Shore sports, certainly for all these many years, and doing everything else for us as well, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. So, again, the big night in Danvers tomorrow night, but we will have live basketball coverage. It will be Marblehead at Beverly. All right, we'll take another quick break so that I can dial up on the telephone here. Scott Cooper should be next, and then we'll go to Emily Hudak. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
All right, again, this is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore. Tim Kearns is a little under the weather tonight, so I'm here manning the phones and the board myself. Joining us now, I think on the road as well, Bill Newell was just on the road, is Scott Cooper, reporter for Marblehead, Swampscott Sports, and for the Daily Item of Lynn. Scott, how are you?
I'm good, Rick. I just got home, actually. We had a meeting over at the Item talking about some things, but I'm back home now working on a couple of stories.
All right, so bring us up to speed. What comes to mind? I mean, we've seen Marblehead hockey right off the top. Forget about it. 7-0-1. They're just cruising along, but what else do you see?
Well, the interesting thing is we got a huge game coming up in the next couple of days. If you just give me 2 seconds, and I'll give you the exact date. The Lynn kids are going to be facing off against Marblehead in the next couple of games, and they're both unbeaten at this point. Jack Stafford has 4 shutouts for Lynn, and Marblehead's only allowed 1 goal in 3 games. Josh Tassinari and Ronan Cunningham split a shutout the other night, 7-0 over Salem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a game everyone's looking forward to. If they're both fortunate enough to stay unbeaten. But as I mentioned, Lynn Jets and Marblehead both unbeaten at this point.
I didn't realize that, and I know some say, as they say, people were talking about, well, if there's a weakness, it's in goal and Marblehead. I think they kind of solved that problem.
Well, you know, the defense, they've got an experienced defense, experienced forwards, and, you know, Cunningham didn't have a lot of time on in the net last season, but, you know, he's got some experience in front of him that is always helpful. You know, if he has to, if they're not getting shots from the top of the crease, any goalie can be successful. Well, that's got a solid defense and experienced forwards, as I mentioned a couple of times we talked. Braden Haley was the leading scorer.
Mm-hmm.
DC last year, and he's on a pace to get there. He got 2 goals against Salem the other night, set up by Kalinowski, and they have a new guy, Drew Siafi, who moved over from prep school on that first line of Marblehead, and he's doing a great job fitting right in. He got a goal the other night, and freshman Jacob Garfield got his first varsity goal from Marblehead the other night, so that was always a thrill. I talked to him after the game, and they that he gets to wear the ceremonial green hat and the big glasses for being the player of the game.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, Garfield's been flying, so I'm not surprised he finally put one home. He's been tremendous on that third line and playing elsewhere too. Scott, I'm going to be talking with Emily Hudak, I hope, in a few minutes. Can you tell me anything about the Marblehead girls team? Have you seen them at all?
Yeah, I've seen them plenty of times. They had a tough stretch. They lost to Beverly 7-1. They were all over the Beverly team for the first 5-6 minutes of the first period. Actually, led 1-0 on a goal by Caitlin Clark from Hamilton Wenham. But unfortunately, they kind of collapsed after that. Emily said they played really well in the third period. It was scoreless, so they didn't quit. But Beverly has got a very, very good team,
mm-hmm.
and they lost 4-1 to Masconomet up in Haverhill the other night, the 9th. So that'll be Saturday. It was the first meeting between Masconomet and Marblehead since the girls from Hamilton Wenham left the Masconomet team and got on to Marblehead. Caitlin Clark picked up another point. She's averaging about a point a game. She set up Marblehead's Bella Peters for the only goal for Marblehead. But they got a late goal with about a minute left, and then they added an empty net goal. So really it was a 2-1 game that quickly they got 2 goals just right before the final buzzer. So Emily said they tried hard, they skated hard, but against two very good teams. They have Medford coming up on Saturday and Bishop Fenwick on Sunday at Salem State and Peabody, respectively. They had 2 teams tied. Medford and the Mustangs and Marblehead tied 3-3 in the season opener, and Marblehead gave Bishop Fenwick 6-1. That was their first win of the season. I've talked to Dougie Anderson several times. He's the Bishop Fenwick coach, and they've lost 4 games by 1 goal.
Yeesh.
They're a lot better. They lost a 1-0 game over the weekend. So that should be 2 good games coming up for the Marblehead Swamps. Got Manchester, Essex, Hamilton, Wenham girls this weekend.
Okay. And
also,
go ahead.
I
was just going to ask you, what else you looking at?
Well, I was actually at the Peabody Swamps game where I got to hang around with the broadcasting legend Bill Newell. Swampscott still looking for their first win over Peabody. That was just a game that Swampscott played well, but Peabody played a lot better, unfortunately, for the Big Blue. They're still looking for their first point, and Danny Johnson kept his team in the game. And just a very, very solid Peabody team. They showed me a lot. I saw them play a few times last season, and they look a lot better this season. They've got Donnie Shaw as a senior and Owen Brewster. They've got some really good talent on that team.
Yeah, and I know Peabody's got some big boys, too. They can wear you down.
The defense is huge.
Yeah, they are.
they're all big, huge defensemen. And, you know, Swampscott has some good, quick forwards, but they're not, you know, they're all around, you know, 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah. They've got three or four guys over 6'2", and it's my God, that's huge for skating. Well, Scott, I hate to cut it short, but I got a lot of people lined up here, and obviously we want to keep doing this, so plan on hearing. I don't know if we're going to do a show next week, but we will the week after. In the meantime, maybe we'll catch you at the rink, too, and get you on again.
Anytime, Rick. Always good to talk to you.
I appreciate that, Scott. Thank you so much, and take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Scott Cooper, who is a sports writer for the Wicked Locals in Swampscott and Marblehead, and also a sports writer for the Daily Item of Lynn. Woo, mercy. All right, I need to take a break here, which I'm going to do in a second. And when we come back, we're going to try to check in with a few more coaches, including Marblehead's Emily Hudak and Hamilton Wenham's John DeMarco. We'll be back.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Okay, we're back, and joining us now is the swim coach for the Lynn Classical High School, and that's Denise Silva. And Denise, first of all, thank you so much for your great reports, your enthusiastic and comprehensive reports when your team is playing. It's great to hear so much about the kids.
Thank you for bringing quality press to our kids. It's, you know, we have great kids, and it's nice when things are going good and everybody's doing the right thing. It's nice to see them get credit for it.
Absolutely. And Denise, first, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of your background and how you got to be where you are.
I am a Lynn Classical alumni. I graduated in 1980. I went to school at Bridgewater State College and then transferred over to Salem State. I've been coaching over at Lynn Classical 25 years. In my day, I was both a swimmer and a diver. My younger years came to the Lynn YMCA and, was very versatile. So I brought a lot to the high school program and swam in college and started a family. And soon after my oldest was born, somebody contacted me and told me they needed a part-time coach. Could I do it? And been there ever since.
That's fantastic. Now, Denise, this is the first time that I have talked to a coach of a swimming team. So you've got to fill me in and tell me what the competition is. What do you do? What are the events? And then we'll talk specifically about your kids.
Oh, certainly. In competitive swimming, it entails a lot. There's four competitive strokes: butterfly, backstroke, breaststroke, and freestyle. There tends to be more freestyle events as far as sprint all the way to distance, which would be a 500 free. There's relays, with a medley relay, which is a combination of each of the strokes, a short-distance free relay, and then a long-distance free relay, which is the 400 free relay. We also encompass diving, so if somebody is gymnastically inclined and they come out for the diving team, it's, you know, very beneficial because they have the spring. And pretty much that's what makes it up, anyway.
Okay, now there's just one of you, or do you have assistants helping you out?
Oh, I actually have two assistants. I have Charlie Rowe. He's been with me for the last 2 years, and his daughter Kay Rowe, who is also an alumnus of Lynn Classical High School, she's a volunteer assistant.
All right.
We do have a diving coach, Don McKinney, and he coaches each of the three Lynn High School diving teams and does a phenomenal job.
So where do your kids, I mean, like in football, baseball, hockey, basketball, there are all kinds of programs throughout the city. How does that work in Lynn with swimming?
Years ago, we used to have a feeder system out of Lynn Y. It doesn't seem to be so much anymore. But, you know, we occasionally pick up a couple of kids and they swim at the PB Winfield Y or the Marblehead Y. And it's wonderful when that happens. And what I was fortunate enough this year to have is to have, like, maybe just short of a dozen student athletes, let's say come September, heading over to the Y on their own, swimming hard. And so when they come into the season, they were already in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
which is very beneficial to our team.
I'm sure. Well, of course. Now, okay, sure. So let's get specific. Tell us a little bit about this team, and let's start with your experienced kids and maybe some of the kids who are helping out the other ones. I'm sure your older kids sometimes act as mentors, whether they mean to or not. But why don't we start there with your older kids?
Okay. I'd say my most experienced swimmer, let me say I have 6 captains that start off the year. Sounds like a lot, but in past, our numbers have been high as like 45, 50. And having 6 captains is just beneficial to reach out and for communication purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no problem utilizing them, whether it be for strokes or on the deck, or, you know, or as an ear for someone to lean on or to build somebody's confidence. They're terrific with that. Senior Captain Kevin Chaffee has been my lead man. He qualified for states this year already in both the 1500 free, and he's just been absolutely fantastic. Aside him, we have Junior Eric McCory. He's a breaststroker, solid swimmer, will swim anything. I have another senior captain, Manny Pakuk, and he's been doing the fly and the IM for me. But he has, you know, the versatility that some of these kids bring in is endless, because then I can mix them up. And if one kid is out, you know, as tomorrow I'll have one boy out with an ear infection, so I'm sitting here shifting my lineup a little bit as to be able to cover his spot.
Mm-hmm.
I do have an outstanding freshman this year. I'm very fortunate that she chose to come over to Glasgow, is Kylie Mendonca. She's qualified for sectionals in each event that she swam, and she's qualified for states in the 100-yard fly and the 100 back. Very versatile swimmer, great kid, just was a really nice fit with our team. The other captains that I have that are very good with organizational skills and helping out, let's say, younger, less experienced, my daughter's a captain, Senior Brianna Silva, and Senior Paige Barnard. They've been very terrific in reaching out and communicating and helping helping us get everything going.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. In diving this year, we have been phenomenal. We have a sophomore, Sarah Sarois, who has twice already broken the Lynn High School women's record and reset it twice already this season, most recently this past Thursday. And I hope that trend continues throughout the rest of this season.
Mm-hmm.
Just underneath her, we have a junior, Alex Pedro. He dove last year, wasn't sure he was going to continue with it this year. Noticed we didn't have too many boys decide they wanted to dive, so he decided to give it another chance, and he's done phenomenal. You have to get 180 points twice, and he's got one under his belt already to go to sectionals. So we have a couple of new divers as well, Kiara Collins and Paula Ays, and they're just doing terrific. I'm incredibly proud of them.
Fantastic.
The strides that they're making, yeah.
Oh, man, it sounds great. And it sounds not only like it's a great learning experience, but also a very valuable experience that the kids get in leadership.
Absolutely, positively. We are a family, right, you know, right there. We have each other's backs. And that's wonderful. You know, they all hang out together. They're all going out to dinner here, there, and everywhere together. It's a nice feeling.
All right, we're talking with Denise Silva, who's the Lynn Classical Swim Coach. And finally, Denise, tell me about, if you could here, briefly, the league or who you compete against and how all that is at the moment.
Okay, the league that we compete in is the Northeast Conference. And we've had perennial powerhouses in our league. And pretty much Marblehead is absolutely positively usually at the top, followed by Beverly, which we had a terrific meet with Beverly last week. And I think in the last couple of years, Davis has fallen into third, another nice team. You know, and it's great. The coaches are terrific. Everybody kind of works together. We're all there for the good of our student-athletes. But Davis was my second meet this year, and we were able to compete against them and beat them, which was wonderful for my team went ballistic. We hadn't done that in years and years. We have Lynn English, Lynn Classical, PB has a team. They're in the building stages. Gloucester now has a team. Revere has a team.
Yeah, I believe it's the first year for Gloucester, right?
I think this is Gloucester's second.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Right.
So it is the conference. It is the Northeast Conference you're in then. Okay.
Yes, it certainly is the Northeast Conference.
Right. I wasn't sure about how that worked, but that makes sense. Well, Denise, is there anything else you'd like to mention about your kids?
Just that I'm super proud of them, and that we have a tremendous group of student athletes. We always let them know that students come first, and I compliment them on their as they continue to grow and improve and work hard.
That's tremendous. Well, keep those reports coming in because it's great to hear them. We put them right up as soon as we get them. And congratulations, Denise, and have a great rest of the season. And hopefully we can talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. You too. Happy New Year.
All right. Thanks. Happy New Year. That is Coach Denise Silva, who was the swim coach at Lynn Classical High School. Whew! Mercy. We are moving right along. I've got to get to some overdue calls here. Still have to talk to Emily Hudak, Marblehead girls hockey coach. And then we want to get to the Hamilton Wenham girls basketball coach. So we'll do that coming up here as we take another break. This is MSO News Sports, and this is North Shore Sports Night. Be right back.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Andruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
To change has come and gone.
All right, we'll break into this little music here. We're back. This is North Shore Sports Night on a very busy Monday night, and joining us now is Hamilton Wenham girls basketball coach John DeMarco. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Hey, Rick. How you doing? Nice to talk to you.
Doing well. Nice to put a voice to the reports that we've been getting, and thank you so much for doing that. We get those right up. Sometimes the newspapers go to bed early, and so we're able to get those as soon as you guys send them in, and we appreciate it. Coach, how's your team doing right now?
Yeah, we're doing great. I think our biggest thing right now is just staying healthy. We've had some players out to start the season, and we're starting to get them back, but I love the fact that we're getting better each day at practice. We're getting better each game. We're 3-3 right now, but I think, you know, the effort's been great. Defensively, we've been forcing a lot of turnovers, and we've been competitive in really in every game and with some players out. So I'm really looking forward to getting our full squad back healthy and seeing what we can do when we are completely healthy. And I hope that'll be by this Friday, but we'll see.
About a third of the way through the season, it sounds like, and maybe a little less, but it's still early on. But have you learned anything about your team thus far in, Coach?
Just, you know, the way they've handled adversity this year, you know, with players going down to injury and other players stepping in and really not missing a beat, you know, just a really resilient group of players. So proud to coach them. You know, a lot of times you lose, you know, one, two starters, a couple of key bench players, captain goes down, and that's happened to us at different times, and they don't miss a beat. They just say, hey, we got to pick each other up, and we have to go out there and compete. And at one point, you know, we beat Amesbury, very good Amesbury team, and we really only had seven players that could go for us. We had four players that were out, and man, they played so hard, and that was a big win for us, you know, early in the season. So just a resilient group and really mentally tough, and they've handled the adversity really well this year.
Maybe you should get Tom Brady's cook there or whatever it is and have the kids have those meals. Keep them healthy.
That would be nice.
Oh, my God. Well, Coach, tell us a little bit about the makeup of your team. Who are some of the kids you've been relying on and some of the kids you've been impressed with so far?
Sure. Well, our three captains, Christina Renault is a senior. She was hurt in the beginning of the year. She's just come back, and she's a great rebounder for us, very good around the basket. Cassidy Crang is also a senior and a captain, and she does a little bit of everything. She's played inside and outside for us. Kelly Walsh is a junior captain, and, you know, Kelly's great going to the basket, key situations. She's had the ball in her hands and scored on three-pointers. She scored inside. She's a very good defender for us. So we're very fortunate to have three excellent captains that are good leaders. Liz Kirshner has been a menace defensively. She's getting like three to five steals a game in our defense, and she covers the best player on the opposite team very often, as does Kate Blatchford, who's our point guard. She's a junior. And Kate's hit a bunch of three-pointers for us. She's steady with the basketball, so she's been really good. And then we have a bunch of sophomores that have really stepped in and played well. Jacqueline Sivvy, Lauren Flynn, and Cecily Zady. The three of them started as freshmen last year. They got some seasoning, and they're really playing well as sophomores. Lauren and Cecily play inside. Jacqueline's hit some big shots on the perimeter for us. All three defend very well. So we're fortunate. You know, we have really good leadership, and we have kids that can score inside and outside, and they all really try hard on defense, too. So, like I said, it's just a matter of having them all out there at the same time together, and hopefully by Friday we'll be able to do that.
Sounding more and more like Belichick in the playoffs. I understand that. Coach, if you could characterize the style of play, what do you want to see your kids do? How can you describe what they do?
Relentless pressure for four quarters. We want to be up in the opponent's face the minute they catch the ball, and defend them the length of the court, you know, without giving up an inch, and just, you know, communicating on defense and trying to force turnovers and speed teams up. And we've been fortunate. We've been able to do that, and we face some teams that are very good, but we feel like over the course of four quarters and 32 minutes, you know, we're going to make our runs and hopefully try to speed teams up. And offensively, you know, we try to play fast, too, if we can get out in transition. One thing I've noticed this year that we didn't do as well last year is we've had some really quality possessions, too. We move the ball very well. We have pretty much six or seven different kids that are all like 8 points, 9 points, 8 points, mm-hmm. 10 points. So every game the scoring is spread out, so we're fortunate for that, too.
Fantastic. Now, what's the next challenge coming up, John?
We have Linfield at home tomorrow night, and we have Triton on Friday night. Focus on Linfield first, obviously, and, you know, they always have a good group of players. They have some good returning players, so every game in the Cape Ann League is a challenge, and we know this will be one, too.
Absolutely, and I remember when the Cape Ann League had all small schools, and now they have all big schools for the most part.
Yeah, isn't that something? It's true.
It is. John, final question, a quick bio on yourself. How'd you get to where you are? What's your background?
Well, I started coaching boys basketball actually in Revere right out of college. I played high school in Revere, high school basketball for Revere High School. I went on to college. I actually played college football at Merrimack, and I got the boys JV job. I coached boys JV for 2 years in Revere. I coached girls JV for 2 years in Revere, and then I went to Linfield for 2 years and coached girls basketball there. I'm very fortunate to work with some really good coaches and even better people. Chris Kingston gave me my start in Revere. Chris is a great guy, still a close friend. And Pam McDonald was so good to me. I'm so fortunate that she was a girls coach in Revere, and I made the switch over to the girls when Chris was no longer coaching the boys. And she brought me up in Linfield with her, too, and I got to know the Cape Ann League. And I applied for the job at Hamilton-Wenham, and feel fortunate every day I wake up to be their head coach and have such a great group of kids, and you know, fortunate to have the successes we've had up to this point too. So just excited too about this season and what we can do the rest of the way.
And I can hear the excitement and the fun in your voice. That's fantastic, Coach. Well, listen, Coach, keep those reports coming in. We have a hotline also. You can call the number, and you can give us voice reports or whatever you want to keep us up with Hamilton Wenham Sports. We appreciate it. And hope to talk to you very soon down the road, probably before the playoffs.
Thanks very much, and we appreciate the coverage that you guys give to high school sports. You do a terrific job with the website and all the reports you guys put out. So we appreciate the coverage, so thank you for that.
That's very nice of you, Coach. Thank you very much. Good luck this week, and good luck the rest of the way. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
All right, Coach, that is Coach John DeMarco, who is the girls' basketball coach at Hamilton Wenham. We're going to try one more time to see if we can get a hold of Coach Hudak at Marblehead, and then we'll finish it up very quickly with Tim Kearns. You're listening to MSO News Sports.
Come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
We have made contact with Tim Kearns, and Coach, a little under the weather, but we hope you're feeling better by now. And how are you doing, Tim?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Rick.
Good.
I don't know if it's a little flu or something, but I think when you're on medication in your blood, you're sometimes a bit more susceptible to the season's illnesses, you know?
Oh, no question about that. Absolutely. Yeah, when they're working on one thing, something else tends to break down. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I get it. Tim, open book. We've talked to many, many different people tonight about high school sports, and first ever interview with a swim coach. The Lynn Classical swim coach was on. That was fantastic. We've talked girls hockey, boys hockey, boys and girls basketball tonight. We've covered the gamut. But what's on your mind? I know the one thing we haven't talked about is there is a football game on tonight. I'm told.
Yeah, there is. It's the national championship, number one Clemson versus number two Alabama, and in a rarity, the number one team is actually the underdog.
How do you look at that one, Tim? Because, you know, I remember when Alabama lost their game back in the middle of the season, I'm thinking, it ain't over yet for these guys. Watch out. You know, they just always come to the top.
Yeah, they're talking about if Saban is able to win tonight, it'll be his fourth national title in 7 years. Which is just an incredible run when you think about it. And they're always in the top five, so they're always right there in terms of an opportunity to take the national title. It's certainly a machine that Saban has built down there, his reputation, the school's reputation. You know, you're just such a top draw to all the top athletes every year. The game tonight, wow. You know, Alabama's not going to like sitting there at number two. They want to be number one. And there's probably more pressure on Clemson, one being number one, being an underdog, to try to really perform and to try to take it to Alabama. And sometimes you're trying to do that, you know, you play right into the other team's hands. Your emotions get a little bit the better of you, and you don't make the plays you need to make. I think they just have to quit the game. They're the number one team. They're undefeated. They rightfully shouldn't be an underdog. And go and play their game. And don't be intimidated by the Crimson Tide across the other line of scrimmage. and play like you play any other game. True, there's a lot more on the line, but if you start adding all the emotional stuff in, then it can begin to work against you, I think.
All right, I got to switch gears, Tim, because it's getting late, and I don't want to rush you, but talk to me about the Patriots. What are you looking for this weekend?
Well, you know, we haven't seen the injury list. That'll come out on Wednesday, and who's going to be available. If they can get Edelman back, if they can put Amendola back on the field, that certainly, you know, makes the middle field a little bit busy. It gives Gronkowski opportunities to get open, get one-on-one coverage instead of the double and triple teams. It opens up the quick passing game to reliable receivers. Brandon LaFell may be a bit more of a factor. It may open up the running game a little bit more because you got to find more spaces just beyond the line of scrimmage. You know, it depends for the Patriots who comes back because you know the Kansas City, they're on that win streak. They've got a lot of momentum, and they're thinking back to when they, you know, crushed the Patriots a year ago. They're thinking they can come back and do it again.
Well, I wonder how much the Patriots are going to use that for ammunition as well. I mean, you know, some of the guys weren't there last year, but many of them were, and I just wonder if it's a question of talent. Is Kansas City more talented than New England?
If you put everybody on the field, I think last year's game was just a major league blip. Teams have them, you know, and Kansas City caught them at the right time last year. Is Kansas City better? If you took their team right now against the Pats team that went out last week, yeah. But if you put their number one team against the Pats number one team, you know, if they played this in week 9 of the season, you know, you wouldn't see the results that you saw last year against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So if they come back with a full complement of weapons for Brady, I think you're going to see a much different result come Saturday night.
Well, I hope so. I think any comments on the games over the weekend? This past weekend?
Yes, you know, we have Scott Norwood's now off the hook of being the biggest joke. You know, you make three in a game, and then the one that's a chip shot to win the game, you can't.
You're totally
shanked.
Oh.
You know, Tim, to do with the holder, he just came through and just pulled that thing like a right-handed, hit it down the third baseline.
But he had done that all game, and I was telling my wife, I said, why aren't they running the ball to the middle or the right-hand side of the field? Notice the last run play, they ran it to the left hash mark. And he had been hooking that thing all night long. So it baffled me as to why it wasn't either in the middle of the field or on the right hash mark. That's what he does. So, you know, the kid has got to take the blame, certainly. But you know what? I don't know if the coach wasn't involved in that.
Well, you know, at that distance, you're going to be able to put it straight through the upright.
I suppose.
He wasn't that far away to allow for any kind of
looking
girl. He just yanked that thing badly.
Yeah. Well, Cincinnati did it again, huh?
It's to be expected. Come on, Rich. No, it's going to happen. That's all the pundits talk about.
They're like a Saturday Night Live show.
My God.
They really are. It's like, okay.
That was embarrassing. You couldn't get in the end zone.
I know. And the stupid play that they had. Tim, my man, I hope you feel better soon. We're probably not going to have a show next week. It is a holiday, and I hope to be up north. But get well soon, my man, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right, I will be there, Mr. Moore.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
Okay, Eric.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Tim Kearns, who is our sports analyst extraordinaire, our sports caster as well, and just a tremendous all-around guy. Anybody knows Tim can vouch for that. All right, that's it. Holy cow, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you to all of our guests. I'm not going to say them all right now. I'm going to post them on the website. You'll see who they are. And have a very pleasant good evening. On behalf of Bill Newell, Bill Poposky, Tim Kearns, and myself, do have a great evening. Bye-bye.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.